Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show we have one of our good friends, Keenan Ramos. Hello, Keenan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi. I believe this is probably one of the first times that you and I have ever, like, actually sat down and, like, had a conversation outside of, I think, like, a social gathering.
A bar.
A bar, yeah. Nick Utah's house watching sports.
Watching football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
So that's kind of always our first question is, you know, how the hell did you get to the couch today? From your perspective, like, how the hell did we all get to know each other, and what brought you to our couch?
I'm going to say good luck and blessings, but we all know that it is one Nicholas Alexander Utah.
That's true. Yes,
I think he is the common denominator. I met Courtney, what, 2007? Six,
yeah,
Courtney and Alex?
6 or 7, yeah.
And then, yeah, I met you a while ago.
Yeah,
back.
I think 2009, 10.
Yeah. Yeah, ran in the same circles.
We did. We had that luxury of being young and dumb together for a second. Right.
And some of us
are
still young.
Keenan and I have been very young and dumb together.
What did you say?
I said, Keenan and I have been very young and dumb
that's
together.
Right.
How old, how old are you, Keenan?
I'm 38 years old.
38?
I am.
How do you feel?
I'm 38. No, I feel, man, I feel great, man. I feel young. You know, I've had the luxury, I've had the benefit of doing three different sort of tours of Kansas City. 2004, I was still in college, and I did a unicorn show, so that was sort of my beginnings in Kansas City theater. And
what show was that?
Take me out.
Mm-hmm. My first equity show.
And did you get to get naked?
I had to get bare ass naked.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can we cuss?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you fucking can.
All right. Yeah. I had to get bare ass naked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's. I happen to really like that show. I mean, I had the luxury of seeing it in New York, and it was really.
You saw it in New York.
I did.
I heard it was. Was that with Danielle Sienna?
Yeah. It was. Yeah. But I did not get to see it at the Unicorn, unfortunately. I wish I would.
Unfortunately. Yeah. You didn't get to see it.
Well, I mean, but I just think that it's always kind of fun sometimes to tangibly see your peers up there taking on some of those roles.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and really, really sort of literally bearing all. You know what I mean? But
that's
we
a
were.
Great
we
cast,
were.
Though.
Oh, yeah, Rusty.
Yeah.
Rusty, Cortez, Dean Vivian.
Yeah.
All those guys. V-tron, was, that was his first show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Like, how do we go back to that?
For that
yeah.
So, I think, if I remember correctly, that was the year that we got married. So maybe not, but yeah.
And then the last Unicorn show I think I saw you on was at Sweat.
It was Sweat.
Yeah, which is still a show that I talk about often, to be honest.
You know, I got, hey, let's get real today.
Let's get real.
Let's get real today. You know, I got really lucky to get placed into that show. I went through some hard things the past couple of years, you know, and I lost a custody battle. And my brother was killed. And this is all in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I lost that custody battle, I was like, you know what, there's no fucking way I'm going to stay here in Salina.
Right.
Bye-bye.
My mind and heart was in Kansas City. So 2 days later, in those 2 days, I threw a pity party for myself. 2 days later, you know, I called Cynthia Levin, and I called Tim Scott at MTH. And within 2 days, Cynthia called and was like, I got something for you.
Yeah.
It's called Sweat.
And then My Fair Lady. Yes.
Tim was like, look, I can, I need you in the ensemble in My Fair Lady. Do you want to take it? And so I was like, yeah, to both.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out that,
what
you
a
know,
warm welcome back to Kansas City.
That's how it is, man.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You know, in one of my lowest points of my life, you know, I reached out to people that really didn't have to even take that phone call. But they did. They personally took the phone call, and within 2 days, I had roles.
I think that's probably a testament to who you are. You know, not just your talent level, but I think that people obviously care for you and want you around. So that's always a good, that's, I mean, to boost you up.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, Corey, I think it's a testament of the community
sure.
that we have going. You know, I've worked in a few different theater communities all across the country. And, you know, you get that fake shit all the time, you know. But not here, you know. People legitimately care about you. You know, we are really friends.
Yeah.
It's just not that incestual bullshit. You know,
yeah.
That you
And when people come in from out of town, they I think that's often what they leave with. You know, I mean, is to say it to better, you know, no better way of saying like that Midwest charm of just saying, hi, you're here, you're family, and if you're a good person, you get to stick around.
Sure.
Yeah, I think we have an interesting vetting process in Kansas
for
City.
Sure.
But,
for sure.
But I'm really glad that those arms were open for you.
Yeah, man.
You came back.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, Sweat still was one of the, I mean, I literally talk about it all the time.
Oh, man, that thing was intense.
All the time.
It was intense.
It messes with my brain.
Yeah. Does it?
It really does. Yeah. You know, because I talk about this a lot. I was in the audience that night, and there was an audience member that stood up at intermission and was talking about how white people own the N-word. Because we said it first.
Woo! Yeah, that's you guys. You guys said it first.
We said it first.
Oh, white people said that first.
So it's our word, and so we should be able to...
Have it forever.
Yes, and we should be able to say this. And so we had an intense conversation in that lobby between Act 1 and Act 2.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. Thank you, Corey, for having that conversation.
Yes, I mean, and it was crazy, and then we sort of were able to talk about what the playwright's intention was, and, you know, the... It just actually became an intelligent conversation, although this one Yahoo was obviously out of his goddamn mind. You know,
and that's the play that he chose to watch that night.
Yes.
Great. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. I'm sure he changed his mind.
I mean, he stood up at the end and was applauding, so we have to... Well, I didn't get a post-show conversation with him. But I talked to Vanessa Davis about it as well. You know, I just... The whole show, if anyone gets an opportunity to read it or see it, I definitely think that it is a talkable piece.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm obsessed with it, but it really does hold
true. It does. Imagine watching that thing every night and then having conversations about that thing every single night and what the show means to... I mean, because it was a diverse cast, you know?
We had
Jan and Jan Rogge and Justin, who is Hispanic, and then, you know, Matt, who had the hardest...
He did.
I think he had the
heart. Because he's such a sweet dude.
He's the sweetest guy.
And to play kind of a skinhead is insane.
Yeah, with a swashbuckle. He comes out with a swashbuckle on his forehead.
Yep.
And he's like you said, he's the sweetest kid on the planet.
But he kicked ass.
Yeah.
I had Greg Butel as the innkeeper or barkeeper.
Oh, God, I love that guy.
He's a great dude. Yeah.
Love
that guy. Vanessa was just drunk on a bench most of the show, right?
But that is sort of its own story, as you have all of these people around you who are going through this conflict, and you're continuously ignoring this person in the corner who obviously needs...
And she had, I think, you know, everybody did amazing work, but Vanessa and Justin Barron, I think they had some of the best moments, because, they, like I said, you could pass her off as this drunk person that's on the...
Right.
Just on this bench, passed out. You can't understand a word she's saying, but she had this like little monologue in, I think it was the beginning of Act 2, where she's talking about her dreams and the places that she wants to go. And it was so tragic, because you're working in a mill.
And you're losing your job.
You're losing your job.
And all your friends keep you drunk.
And all your friends keep you drunk just to get through the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to go to these places, but you hold on to that. Yep. You know what I mean?
And you drink more. The more that you lose that dream, the more alcohol
should be. The more you consume. Yep. It was a beautiful...
It was beyond racism. It had a lot of good conversations.
It did. I think it spoke on... almost why... people think the way they do when it comes to bigotry. Definitely doesn't justify it, but it's like why they think like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was the brilliance of that.
Absolutely. Well, that's the hard question. I mean, that's the thing that can't be answered, is that, you know, if you can just be like, well, I'm an asshole, like that, you could just say that, but nobody believes that that's why they think what they think. Nobody's just like, well, because I suck. Like, nobody,
that's the
answer. But if you can get the why, then you can try and... fix it. Well, I view fix it. I don't know if everybody
fix it or understand.
Right, and have
if you
like
do
a,
want to
understand. Okay. Yeah. It's a rough conversation.
Yeah.
Alex and I were in that existential place this weekend when I was talking about the Avenue Q.
The Avenue Q, right? Schadenfreude is getting pleasure out of people's pain. What are the parameters of that?
Right.
Like, if your house burns down, I'm not laughing. You know, I'm not like, ha 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 ha, Keaton lost everything. That's hilarious.
Right.
But if you trip on a pebble and like kind of
that's
fucking hilarious. So what's the difference if the definition is pleasure in someone's pain? What are those parameters?
I had this conversation, and Nate Jackson, who's one of my best friends, and we talk about it all the time, And I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but our views on Rent, the musical Rent, you know, it changed things. The actual production, you know, it changed everything. It made people think about, you know, serious topics in a musical theater setting. But I talked to this one guy at this workshop, and he said, you know, I don't like the play, and I asked why. And he said, well, I was there opening night. He was my friend, the guy who died.
Jonathan Larson.
Yes. And he's like, I knew him, and he's like, I myself am gay, and I've lost so many friends to AIDS, and I guarantee they weren't singing about it. They weren't singing about it. Hmm. And I said, okay, that's a new way to think about that play.
Right. But I'm not sure if that's not what musical theater is intended to do. When you can't speak, you sing.
And exactly, and that's where I'm at.
Right. But I see that other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I bet you people who are dying of AIDS were not dancing around, you know.
And singing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. And now, of course, we know Rent's a period piece.
Now
which
it
is
true.
A mind fuck in itself.
It is.
New York is not New York as it was in the 90s.
It isn't.
Yeah.
It isn't. And
it's not just the AIDS crisis. It's just all sorts of things.
Right.
You know, Angel, who's in that, I think they classify her as a cross-dresser. But there's definitely different conversations.
Oh, well, that was 23 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It came out in 96?
It's the 20th anniversary tour, I think, right now. I believe it probably would, my musical theater nerds, but I think it was nominated for the Tony in 98, but it probably was in workshops, you know.
Before.
You're closer to probably 23 years, that it was probably started its workshop.
Well,
and it's unfinished.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it can't be finished. It's not allowed
right.
to be finished. It's,
yeah.
its errors are there.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my, you know, group of family or whatever all saw right when it came through this last time in the tour, and it was totally... It is weird listening to it and seeing it so posthumously from sort of that huge AIDS crisis that they were really standing up and singing about.
Sure.
And now we live in a world where it might actually be undetectable, if not perhaps curable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a mind fuck in itself.
It is.
Well, you are currently in a production of Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, boy.
Shakespeare in the Park. I think you've maybe got, 2.5 performances in or something?
2.5.
Yeah.
2 or 3 quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're stopping that thing. Intermission every other night because of this rain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you done Shakespeare in the Park before?
This is my first. I've auditioned for Sid one time before, and that didn't work out. And so this is my first summer with him. And it's been one of the best experiences.
They're a good group of people.
Oh gosh, Sid is an amazing, one of the best directors I've ever been privileged to work with, for sure. And you know, walking into that rehearsal room every day, it's like walking into a classroom. I mean, you get to see John Risenhouse, Jan Rogie, Bruce Roach,
just chilling.
Oh, just chilling, and then you get to see them work.
Yeah,
I mean,
and you get to work alongside them.
Work
and they're
outside.
Cutting people to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You just get out your pad and your pencil and just take down everything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Prepares. How Stanislavski of you.
Oh, gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. I went and saw the preview of it on when you guys were still in previews.
You did?
Yeah, I did. There was some tree trimmers on the other side that decided the most of Act 1 they wanted to cut down every tree.
You want to know what happened?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, a day before. It just this wild mini micro storm came through.
I believe
just
that.
Brushed through the park and a tree fell down on this car.
Oh,
so that's what you guys were watching. You guys were watching this guy cut apart this tree because there's a car underneath that.
I wasn't quite on the west side of that park yet to see that.
Yeah.
So that makes all of a sudden there's like this lovely sweet scene and you're like and you could just see everyone be like, this is outdoor theater.
Yes.
Like, this is amazing.
Well, and the thing is that you've done outdoor theater at Theater of the Park, which is much more controlled, not weather-wise, but your environment.
It was not in the heart of the city.
Right,
yeah.
You're just in the middle of the city.
You have St. Luke's Hospital
right
there, so the helicopters are just buzzing by all the time.
But
it's a weird, weird thing. Because I think we also, Alex used to be the the master electrician for the festival, and we lived in those apartments that are just to the south, where actually my parents live now. the like Spanish looking mm-hmm. buildings, and we had that super wet winter, and there were just wet summer that we would just sit on our balcony, and I'm like, wonder when this set's gonna float by, because it was just insane to just work that hard and be like, who knows when you'll get performances.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That is the. You guys have a pretty decent run.
Yeah.
It's free. Donations are accepted, but and it is at the park right adjacent to the Nelson Atkins Museum.
Southmoreland Park.
Yeah, Southmoreland Park. And it's great. It runs through July 7th, and I highly recommend you trying to catch it if you can, because it was, I mean, I love theater. Let's be honest here, people. You know, at some point I can convince myself to have a good time watching any show, but just the quality of work that was coming out of that room that night was really cool, and it was kind of refreshing to see sort of an homage to Shakespeare instead of an actual Shakespeare show. I'm hoping that that's bringing new people to the park that then will return the next year.
It does. You know, it's got everything that you want, and you know, it has some of the tragedy, and it definitely has the humor. Tom Stoppard is the he wrote it. He was on the screenwriting team for the movie, and he did this adaptation to stage.
Was it a stage play first into movie, or
no, it was a movie. It was a movie, and then I think they took it to West End,
okay.
Over in London, and I think it was Oregon Shakes.
Oh, yeah.
With lots of Kansas City ties, like Jenny Greenberry.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
Best.
I love her.
She's crushing it.
I went to college with her, and you know, she was just some quiet nobody in the corner, and now like, and she just exploded. I was so proud of her.
She only did musical theater,
pretty much.
Yeah, and now she's just crushing Shakespeare.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, Stevens College represent. You know, we had a good time there. You know, there was a few of us out there. But yeah, catch that show. You know, it's really sweet. You get to play Tybalt, I think, at one point, right?
In the dumb show,
yeah.
I get to play this crazy cartoon version of Tybalt, where I act like an asshole.
Yeah. But it gives you a comedic moment.
It does, man. It does.
Yeah.
It does. I play the violin in this thing.
Do you really play the violin?
I do really play the violin. That was my first venture into the arts. My mom was a music teacher before she became a principal. And so she got me in violin lessons pretty early.
That's cool. Yeah, that was a question that, and that is both I don't know why testament is my word today, but a testament to how well you guys were doing, because I couldn't tell if that was like canned or if you guys were actually playing up there. So
yeah, we were playing it. Well, we had the track, and then we were playing on top of the track.
On top of the track, yeah. But is that you and McAndrews? Is Matt
me, Matt McAndrews, who
Chris
is also...
Stoker?
Chris Stoker?
Yeah.
And another gal, her name is Marissa. Her last name escapes me right now. Shout out to Marissa. And Matt, of course, is really singing.
Yeah.
So we're the musicians.
Was all of that music in the show, or did Sid add that?
I think some of it was, but a guy named Greg McElroy, I don't know his name, it's McElroy or McAfee or something, he got all of it and changed it all up. So he did all the track that you hear, a lot of the choral arrangements that are in the piece. He did that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just kind of a question. I always love. I know it's a good show whenever I want to learn more about it after I walk out.
Yeah.
And those were some of my questions, like, what did they add? How did they manipulate it? Because it is still like essentially public domain. I mean, it's still a free show, so you kind of get to mess with it a little bit if you want to, because there's not really anyone holding that over your head.
And there's no better person, I think, to get a hold of that stuff than Sydney Garrett.
Yeah.
She's a great person. Two, she's one of the most creative brains out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that she's the funniest MF-er I've ever met in my life.
And girl can cast a show. She can find things in people that
I've
never seen.
And she's obsessed with it. She's obsessed with Shakespeare, which is what you want in a director. You know, who's going to cover everything? Who's going to color the entire page?
Yeah.
It's been a blessing to be a part of this.
When did you know that you wanted to go into the arts?
You know what? Courtney, of course, knows Nate Jackson, mm-hmm. our friend. Now, Nate's had a really, 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 he's successful.
He is.
He's had a great career. Mm-hmm. But I met that guy.
He's a decent hunter.
He's a decent hunter?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw, I met him when I was a freshman in high school, and he was a junior, and I saw him do this monologue from George C. Wolfe's Color Museum. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I went up and I was like, you know, I kind of want to do something like that. And ever since then, I just kind of followed Nate in the acting classes. Nate graduated before I did, and so I followed him to K-State. And once we got down to K-State, we were just in this pocket of people that really, really took theater seriously. And so we really learned the discipline. It might not have bled out into our classwork, but when it came to theater, we really, really got addicted to it.
Yeah, and you were, and you also that group of friends that seemed to sort of be inspiring each other to continue to succeed and work hard. And I sort of feel like I've seen those ripples come out of that group you all talk about, that you all are just still so
tight with.
Yeah, and they're into each other and supporting each other.
And they're still working. You know, Price Messick, who just got married, he's still doing stuff in New York, and Nick is still doing theater here. He's you know, he's working at A to Z, you know, and he'll never leave theater.
No.
You know, he'll
it
always.
It's definitely in his DNA.
It is in his DNA.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
all he
knows. That's all he knows.
Yeah.
His mom and dad, you know. Mm-hmm. His mom, they're both just retired, but his dad was our professor at K, our lighting professor, and he took over the program for a little bit, and his mom was the teacher
and actress too. I mean,
oh yeah, she's a stunt.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I never got to see her perform.
Isn't Libby the artistic director
at the Columbia?
Yeah, at the Columbia now. So I mean, you know, it's
it is a theater family.
Meredith's the only one that she like went off and wants to live in Hawaii and have the cutest puppy on the planet. Have you seen that puppy yet? Oh my god,
I have not seen that puppy.
She just got a new puppy and it's hello, Meredith.
Shout out to Meredith.
Yeah,
that's, you know, it's pretty cool that, you know, when you came back to talking about when you came back to Kansas City, that you sort of had like a person like Nick Utoff as well, that it was easy to just slide right back in with your buddy and sort of play together.
Oh yeah, you know, and the thing about that's why it made the move back here a lot easier for me is you know, Nate was here and Nick Utoff was here. You know, when we get together, we don't talk about theater as much because, you know, Nick only talks about Kansas City. Chiefs.
That's true, yeah.
Nick
here
is
our season. Yes.
But here we are, you know, we know that it's always around, that's our lives, you know. But we have other things that...
Yeah, which I think is important, too, because sometimes, I mean, it's your job, so sometimes you don't want to talk about...
You don't
want to
talk about
you don't
business
talk about
at the
your
dinner
job.
Table.
But a little bit of your job that you're going to do is you and Nick are going to be in a show together.
Here
at the Arts Asylum come this September.
When was the last time you guys did a show together?
Me and Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. 2010, we did Christmas Carol at the Rec.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Jackson wrote a show. Yeah, Jackson wrote a show called The Last Black Play that we ended up taking to the Kennedy Center. And Nick was in that. Mm-hmm. And some of the best moments of my life was doing that play and Nick Utoff and I getting drunk in the streets of Washington, D.C., and we made up a game called Shit That White People Do.
And what are some of those things that white people do?
Well, here we go, Court. It's in the form of a song. So we had, it just started off us, you know, walking down the street. Da-da-da-da-da. And so we'd add shit white people do. Da-da-da-da-da. Paying your taxes on time. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. 401k.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
The shit that white people think about.
The newest Amy Poehler movie that wasn't really that good. It was like Wine Country, and it's, you know, things that we say now.
Yeah.
Like, I sleep with a mask on at night to help my breathing. Stuff that we say now.
Stuff that we say now.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
You have to pay child support. Stuff that we say now. You know, stuff that we say now.
Right.
What?
Oh, I just was thinking about the stupid shit that white people do. But
there's a lot. I loved that Facebook. Were you a part of that?
Oh
when
my
that
god,
was going
that was
around
the funniest
when...
thread I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
What was that officially called? God, it was so good. I have to go back and find it. That was like it was basically the stupid shit that white people do.
Yeah. Well, it was like if you know it's a person of color, what is one question that you would love to ask
white people.
A white person?
Like, you know.
You know, and some of them are very specific.
Why do you put raisins in your potato salad? That kind of thing. But, yeah. I mean,
and then it was really one of the only times I've seen a social media forum stay respectful and honest, and like people were really having real good conversations
inside
of that, shrouded with some humor,
all
around that. I loved that thread.
I have a new question, which is just that thing that I posted, that there's like a whole, these flocks of these fucking influencers that are going to Chernobyl to take pictures.
I saw that.
Like, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Darwinism.
Right, where I'm just like, what are you doing? Why is this a thing?
Why would you even go there and tour it?
I don't know.
I think for another 2,000 years or something, that place is not supposed to go near it. People are licking, walls, and I'm just like, enjoy your cancer, crazy.
No.
Before that, there was the Auschwitz? Auschwitz?
Oh, yes.
You know, people taking crazy selfies on the train track.
No, it's just I.
Fear.
No,
so painful.
What's happening to us, guys?
Are we that fucking bored? That's evidently what it is.
That you just can't go to Auschwitz.
Yeah, you need to lay down on the train
track. Be in the moment and
understand
what's happening.
Oh, like solace and like
I don't know.
I mean, what? No, but hey, they filtered the shit out of that sign, right?
Yes, they did.
America, Lewis. So Jesus Christ Superstar coming up. We are super excited about that. We have some of Kansas City's, I believe, finest and sweetest people that are going to be around us. I'm in a really loving mood today.
It's
fun.
A lovely cast.
It was just so fun to cast that show because we had the ability between, this Happy Breed, Kyle Hatley, and us to say, these are our talented friends, and these talented friends deserve to do something together. We are not stipulated by a bigger organization or whatever. We actually get to showcase the most talented people that we have in this city, and who do we want to spend the next 8 weeks with? Or in this case,
two years.
Because we've done workshops and we've done things and you all melded together so wonderfully that I can't even imagine what we're going to do come September.
You know what? You know what I'm so excited about this?
Seeing me every day.
Seeing you every day.
That's it. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Seeing you. Sign me up. I really believe this is how the most important theater gets made. It's this sort of process. You know what I mean? People just getting together, wherever it is, and getting people that they trust and they genuinely like, and it grows from there, man. I was only there the last day for the workshop.
Well, because you were doing Shawshank, right?
I was doing Shawshank Redemption.
It wasn't just because you were sitting on your couch twiddling your thumbs.
Playing video.
Yeah, you were tackling a pretty iconic role.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I walked into something that day. You know what I mean?
It's crazy, right?
I walked into something like you guys were singing these songs. And everyone was crying, and it just wasn't crying for the sake of crying. It was like you felt what was happening, you felt the emotion. That was 3 days.
Yeah,
it was 3 days.
3 days of
and
of
strangers,
a lot of people.
Like you weren't
right.
You know, like there was a couple of you who only had showed up on that day, and
right.
you all just right fit.
Well, and a
right
lot
into
of
the picture
that we all know. You know what I mean? But that no one's ever. Like, I love the fact that Chris and Justin have never worked with each other outside of drag before.
See,
like,
I wouldn't have known
that. Like,
yep.
They've only been
their female personas.
And
yeah.
it's just so... Or, like, Callie, who I've never heard of her. I've never seen her in a show. And, like, the voice that comes out of that girl, I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now that you're just doing that with your mouth? Like,
You mean wailing
right?
and
it's
crying?
Like, I'm so... It's so amazing.
No. I wanted to do that because I got Nick Utah told me about it and said that you guys were producing it and that Kyle was going to direct and Sean and Natalie, you know, were part of the team. So I was like, immediately I was like, I know Alex is gonna make it look beautiful. Courtney and Corey isn't gonna pull it out crap, and Kyle Hatley is.
And Aaron Bates is a genius.
And Aaron Bates.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Bates.
She is.
Yeah. She is.
When she played the entire overture, I don't know if you were quite there yet, but she played through the whole fucking overture, and we're just like, okay. Like, that's it, because she was also sight reading the shit out of that.
She's insane. Yeah, she's insanely talented.
I'm very proud of who we are, Courtney, but it is also, like, really fucking cool to be surrounded by not just that creative team, but that cast, to say all of us are going for the same ultimate goal, and there doesn't really seem to be any roadblocks.
Nope.
It's pretty cool.
Sometimes you work in a show, and especially these some of these older actors who've been around for a while, and I'm not talking about any particular show, please. It does kind of feel like a job. Luckily, it hasn't been any of the shows that I've been in recently. But sometimes it does feel like a job to them, and it seems like they punch in and punch out. They do a great job, and then they go home. It doesn't, I was only there for the day, but it doesn't feel like that. All the interactions online, it feels like all these cats are hungry.
Yeah.
That they're obsessed about it.
But they're also working other places. It's also not like all of you, and that was a conversation I also had, is it wasn't like that we assimilated 15 people who were not working performers. You are literally in a show right now. Right now, like Jessica just closed Pippin.
Yeah.
Callie, I think, just closed a show at the Chestnut. Like, you're all actively.
Yeah, three of us are in the Heights.
Yeah.
Poncho Zuznami.
I love Poncho.
Yeah, Poncho's the best, man. He's the best.
She
plays my wife.
Yeah. Right? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love Francie. And Francie's in the middle of Matilda right now. Like, she, she's done like three shows since then.
Yeah, man.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
It's good. This thing is going to be insane. Really cool.
And I'm hyping it up because I literally feel it is going to change the landscape of some of our particular companies and we're
sure.
Like, just having that much positive energy in one room together, I think is...
Oh, hell yeah.
Well,
it's combustible.
It's one of those things that is also, like, it is literally, I mean, like, as ridiculous as it sounds to say that it's a decade in the making, it actually, like, the very first time that we recorded Kyle in here for our grand opening, which was 7 years ago, we walked the theater during that period of time, and that was before we opened, so, 7-8 years ago, and he was like, we should do Superstar in here, and it was the first thing Alex said when we got the building. He was like, we should do Superstar in here, and then it's like, and now,
and then Hope was always on.
Absolutely, and he's like reading the Bible or something. I don't even know what he's doing.
Hope wants to understand every aspect of this story.
Mm-hmm. Sean does?
And he's not even being silly. He's just like, I want to feel the way that the music needs to be told through my fingers, like, to make sure that I am telling my part of this story.
That dude is one of the smartest.
Well, right, and I'm like, and he wasn't, like, he wasn't being funny. Like, it was too legit. He was like, yeah, like, why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you're right. Why wouldn't you? If that's what he needs to jump to the next level.
I love that dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inspired by the people who are around me all the damn time.
I think this is going to be special.
I agree. I think if for nothing else, it's just going to be, I think that there's
and it starts so quickly, too.
It does.
Like, it's
so
getting
so
ready to, like, happen.
Is this, is this the first time you guys have worked with Kyle?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like, this intense where I get to call him twice a week and have a conversation.
He's texting me right now.
Yeah, like, he is, the passion behind that man is insane, and his brain is always working. And I think that probably the biggest detriment is that he is like, I want to be here. I want to be able to jump in and come into the office and sketch something or talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to get him back.
Yeah. I think that overall, I think the whole creative team is like, obviously I've worked with Alex, I've worked with Corey. I don't think that officially I've ever done anything with Chris, though Chris sits on our board.
We got Georgiana on costumes. Like,
yeah, Georgiana's fantastic.
She's doing costumes.
Yeah,
she's doing costumes.
I mean,
Jeff Eubanks doing sound.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, Jeff Eubanks doing sound.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've worked with Jeff before. That'll be incredible. Aaron and I have worked together, but not on like a show. She worked on our grand opening. Obviously I've worked with Sean, you know, but it's this, yeah, just the group of human beings, there was just something in that room that final day when we did that final sing that I was just like, what is happening?
This
is some sort of magic that people only dream about, you know?
And that's the third. We're not up on, up on stage, but we're not moving around.
Nope.
There was no acting intentions.
There was no acting.
You know, it was just the emotion within the song, man.
Yeah. And it was a safe place for, you know, Chris Barksdale to have some of his moments that he needed as he was navigating. Because the other fun thing is that we aren't officially actually publicly saying who anyone's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is still, you know, it is possible that there is still this veil of that you could walk into that room that night and not know.
And I'd be married. Yeah. I'd be Mary Magdalene. Who knows?
But
who
you
knows?
Could be.
Who knows?
Like, that's the, but that was the beauty that we tried to create is, you know, if Keenan walked in and he was the right person for Mary, why couldn't Keenan play Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to gender some of these roles to tell their stories? Which is something I think Kyle is navigating as well as the storytelling of it and not necessarily the religious.
And the personification of what all of that means,
yeah.
of the roles we assume in life. That we all,
for sure,
you know,
for
that
sure.
have
the ones that
do.
Are thrust upon us.
Right.
You know?
For sure.
Exactly.
I'm assuming you identify as a male.
I do. Yeah.
I mean, you know, in 2019, and so what that just comes with.
Mm-hmm.
To, that you are personified as a male when you walk down the hallway, and maybe you already have your only part of your character decided for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And what if we erase that? Yeah, and that's kind of what Kyle sort of started with, is if you walk into that room and you don't know if Keenan's a male or a female.
And I think that's the that's what I'm most excited about this project. I mean, it's the mystery that shrouds this thing. You know, we know we know what we're going to sing, ish. But who knows what's going on in that dude's head?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know more than anybody. You and Emily have to probably,
yes.
because she has to sit there and listen to that
That's
guy
true.
Every
yeah,
day.
He's got to bend all of his
He's got to bend all those.
Yeah.
He probably wakes her up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's like, Emily!
Come on, I got this idea. What if? Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
And so you guys know more than anything, but, you know, me, I'm like, what's going to happen in what's going to happen in September?
Right.
And that's the, I mean, and I trust that dude 100% because he does not put on crap.
Yeah,
he
does
you
not.
Know, and God, he's a genius. So, yeah, it's a different approach to Jesus Christ Superstar, one that is like so refreshing, it's so exciting, and so new.
Have you done this show before?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. I remember, you know, having beers on at you guys' old place.
Mm-hmm.
While
G1,
when you guys were upstairs, and we watched it one night.
Yeah.
And we were, we had a few too many beers, and Utoff sung the whole thing.
Yes,
so that was
he still does.
He still does.
Yes.
He's probably singing it now, ADC. But yeah, that was the first time that I saw it. I was like, wow, this is cool. It's a rock show almost. So actually hearing Chris and Justin sing that the other day, man, that was mad cool.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna be pretty awesome.
I can't believe it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Are you in Nick's wedding? Are you?
I am.
Yeah, we get to party together.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
All of us are actually.
Are you going on the flood trip?
No, because we have In the Heights.
In the Heights.
Right. I was just wondering who I got to float down the river with.
I think Matt McAndrews might
Matt's going to go. I think that Meredith, maybe she'll bring her adorable puppy.
Cool.
I feel like I need to post this adorable puppy for everybody.
I think you
do. I'll hold it up in our selfie.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm kind of excited for that because that is literally a week after we close Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
wedding,
what we're doing the Friday after that closes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a perfect bookend.
It's
right.
To the entire
We're all going to get to see each other again. I think Kyle is officiating, so he's going to be there. Like, it's going to be kind of a really fun, good to see you all again.
Exactly.
Wasn't that crazy what we just accomplished?
And then 2 weeks, oh my God.
For the fives and tens
I mean, this puppy, like,
is,
I can't even.
That's rude.
Just showed up. I was like, oh, look, there's the puppy I'm talking about.
And then
about.
2 weeks after that, I don't know. I haven't told Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is breaking news for you,
Kyle.
Hatley, I will have a kid.
You will.
I will. She's due 2 weeks after Nick's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like, we're kind of like praying that it doesn't come around.
I think I have heard a rumor of that.
And yeah. I think Dale's also do, like, I think they're due, though, the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just like, you have some serious things.
Do you know what you're having yet? Did I ask that?
We find out. Sloan gets into town Friday. And so we haven't told her yet, even though we told all of Facebook.
Yeah.
Hopefully my daughter doesn't have a secret Facebook page that we don't know about. So we haven't told her, you're going to tell her, and the next week we find out the sex.
Cool.
And Jenny wants to do one of those...
The 3D ultrasounds?
Not the 3D, no, those weird-ass gender reveals.
Oh, fair. Oh, like, she doesn't want to know, she wants somebody else to tell her, or she wants to let everybody else know?
I think it's a combination of all that shit.
Okay, alright.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, let's
just... You're like, just, who cares?
Just so I can find blue or pink clothes. That's what I even know right now.
Oh, look, you've already fit into their gender role.
Oh, yeah, whatever, orange.
Yeah, or whatever orange. They want to be.
Whatever they want to be.
Purple, right.
Whatever they want to be.
That is so, like...
Are you going to let Sloan come to the ultrasound when you find out? Will she still be here? We did one of those with Iz, where we did the, like, 3D thing, and she came in and got to see. She did. She started, you know, Iz has got... the sweetest child on the planet, but also got a little sass. She got a little sass with my doctor because she knows things that no children should know, and that was the peplum conversation. She walked in, and she's always been very into how she appears, what she's dressed like, and this sort of thing.
She's a very stylish young lady.
She is. And she had on a peplum that day. For those of you who don't know, that's like the shirt with the little skirt thingy attached. And the doctor walked in, and she goes, aren't you so cute? And Iz is like, yes, I have on a peplum. You have on jammies. And I was like, this is going really well. I'm sorry for my child's shade that she just threw at you.
Jammies, how dare you?
Yeah, because you know, I was like, those shade. Are scrubs, honey. Those are, that's what doctors care.
You had mentioned something about, you know, Sloan having a Facebook. Do you have an opinion on when a kid should be able to be on social media? Themselves?
If I do, it's because I just don't trust other people.
Yeah.
I just do not trust other people. Her mom lets her play, what's that, Fortnite?
Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have online capabilities with that, and it makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if she does, it's just I want to be right there. And, you know, I don't, what does she need Facebook for right now?
I can't figure out why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there are more pros than even right now. I think there's more pros than cons with Facebook.
I think we've talked about, Courtney, sort of that idea that whenever a kid is born, that maybe perhaps you make one up for them so then they can go, like,
so
their yearbook sort of starts, and then, like, on their 16th or 18th birthday or something, you hand over that to them, but then at least they have all of those things sort of documented beforehand. Because right now, the first 6 years of Isabel's life is only tagged through you.
Right. Like, yeah. When she does, Isabel has an Instagram page. I guess Isabel does not have an Instagram page. Little sister Ding Dong has an Instagram page, but I am in control. She doesn't have a way to post. She tells me, I want this picture to be out and I want to say this, but I am in control of it so that she never has to get any of the negativity if there's any, and there hasn't been, but if there's anyone who, you know, posts something about what she's wearing or what she's doing or anything like that, she doesn't see any of that.
What do you guys think about Facebook?
The more I get into it, the more it's, to me, I pretty much just use Facebook as Instagram. I mean, it is just another distribution because people, like my parents or whatever, aren't on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if I want them to see kind of my life, their world is sort of more on the Facebook side. And I use Facebook as a communication skill a lot just because of Messenger and just sort of sharing of events. But really, I think it is a pretty gross and dangerous place,
to be
honest.
I have to use it because I manage so much other stuff as a marketing tool. And I think, unfortunately, and fortunately, because of the positions that we have, I don't mean to speak for you, but certainly on at least me, my who I am is sort of a brand as well. So I don't feel as though Facebook is the place to share, like, real life things. Like, when people have, like, tragedy that hits or something like that, it's very rare that I share that part of who I am. I think,
like,
there's a lot of politics that I share.
Like,
that's not for everybody.
My first inclination is not to tell people how sad I am today. My first inclination is to figure out why I'm sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I don't think Facebook is really It is no longer the tool that it was, I think, created for. Mm-hmm. I think it is a kind of gross, dark place, to be honest.
I had a conversation with Martin Buchanan about this. Like, how long does it take for you to get angry once you pop that page open?
Right.
And nowadays, it's 5 seconds.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And why do that to your soul every single, you know, what, 20, 30 times a day that you check that thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the thing? Take it off your phone. That's right. The first thing that people have said is, okay, well, what if you just don't like to actually do it? You have to go through a Internet Explorer or whatever to go to Facebook. And so those 3 or 4 extra steps might, something might come in the way of those, and maybe you actually won't get there. And I'm closer to maybe removing it from my phone. But I just am not there yet.
You know, my excuse is I only do Facebook. Don't do Twitter. I don't do Instagram. Snapchat.
Is extremely dangerous, to be honest.
I don't know. I've never been on any of that stuff. So I only know Facebook, and that's been my excuse. So I only do Facebook. Mm-hmm. But God, man, it's torturous to the soul.
It is.
Yeah. You know.
And honestly, why do we care about strangers? This has been also my sort of inclination of sort of shout out to my husband out there, but I'm just like, I don't give a shit what Rosie O'Donnell is doing today, you know, or something like that. Like, why am I following a celebrity's life that I don't care about at all? And so I really am trying to shrink my who I give a shit about sort of circle, but I don't care.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's niceties to, like, being able to keep in touch with, like, friends and family who are not close, you know, who don't live in the city you live in or something like that. There's some nice parts about being, like, I can watch my nieces and nephews grow up without having to be right there. Uh-huh. That's nice, but
that's the thing. Like, there are a couple people that I've known since college that if I didn't have Facebook, I would never see them again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly eliminated the need for, like, a class reunion, I believe, in some ways. We don't need to go to those.
We know what you're doing. No. We know what you look like.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but it's, you know, it is weird to be friends with somebody that I met at a party 10 years ago, and for some reason they're still in my world. And we don't really know each other or care, but from time to time, I might see them out, and all of a sudden, I feel like I know them, and I just know that they were having chips and salsa last Thursday. I don't, but I don't know them. But so then there's, like, sort of that ability, and again, this does not help us. There's no humbleness in this, but right now, I am a judge for Drag Race at Hamburger Mary's each week, and the people that come up to me and assume that they know me and my husband's life and whatever, and I'm like, you don't know anything about us. Like, you have no
idea. You know what I've curated for your
You have no idea that I sat and watched Apollo 13 last night and ate pizza from Minsky's, and I looked gross last night. But I didn't post that, you know? And so, and then it's like, what do you choose to post?
Yeah.
It's just this whole, you know, if Instagram were to go away, how many, like, celebrities would disappear because they wouldn't have a forum to share, and their whole life is like influencers or whatever that is.
Well, that's they keep going to Chernobyl, they'll probably disappear.
No. So we need to go into the questions portion of this, believe it or not. See how quickly this is. If you were just tuning in, this is Couch Chats, and we are talking to our friend Keenan.
Hey guys.
Hey. So what is the best thing that has happened to you this week?
My girlfriend left on a trip last week, and she came back this week, and she has twins. Wow. So I was really, really pumped to see them. I got the house all organized, all cleaned up for them. So
I loved it. Love, you know, seeing your person was like the best thing that took place. That's good for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Well, on that note, what is the closest thing to real magic
for
you?
Me? Mm-hmm. Personally? Shit, I think it might be love. I think it is love.
I love love.
I do, too. I mean, that shit will make you feel good no matter what.
It is the most addictive drug I've ever been on.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. Love I have for my daughter is unmatched. I mean, gosh, man, it's a beautiful thing, and having her be be here for the summer, starting a few days, man. I can't wait.
Isn't it kind of tangentially crazy that there are people who, like you, who are just like, my kid's love is, you know, the unmatched, but then they can, like, there's parents out there that throw their kids out for being gay or something, and you're just kind of like, how to throw that unconditional love out the door?
It's disgusting.
It is, yeah.
And it shows that they, you know, I mean, they have mental problems. I wanted to ask you, I saw on your Facebook, you put up this picture of his father. It was at Hamburger Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was actually Vanessa Friedel, but yes, I know exactly what picture you're talking about.
Dude is my good friend.
Oh, yeah?
We went to high school, and I was his backup. He's one of the best baseball players I've ever played with.
Yeah?
What's this picture?
The picture that Vanessa posted from Drag Survivor. That's one of the contestants' dads.
That was so sweet that day. We just watching his baby just perform.
He's one of the coolest cats.
I believe
and,
that.
You know, we went to an inner city school, and you know, being gay, especially in the late 90s, you know, it was what it was today.
It wasn't.
You know, and to see that guy be as proud as he was coming from where he came from, where we came from, you know, it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. That's magic.
Yeah. That is magic.
That's magic.
Unconditional love like that.
He's one of the best baseball players. I mean, he should be in the league. Right?
He was just standing over there just in awe. The whole, like, we all were talking about him. That we were just like, that's awesome.
And he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he was surrounded by glitz and glitter and fabulous people all around him.
He's an amazing person.
But he was honed in on just watching his kid. Mm-hmm. It was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I know what that... Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, man.
What is the best praise or advice you've received?
Praise or advice. I think some of the best praise... you know, I won an award at this thing called the American College Theater Festival, ICTF. And that was enough to make me... want to become an actor. So if I don't, I mean, sure, I could have. Uh-huh. I could have become an actor if I didn't receive that award, but that was like justification. You know, you can. This is where you stack up with your peers.
Yeah.
You can compete with these guys and get some of these roles. And that just was just another, that decision a little bit clearer.
That's cool. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of amazing how those tiny little moments can alter your trajectory
for sure.
The rest of your life.
I took this development class, this business development, and it was for actors. And one of my professors says, what do you want to do? What's your goal to get out of, and what do you want to get out of acting? Do you want to be rich? Do you want to be famous? And young, cool Ken, 24-year-old Ken, was like, I just want to be happy. He was like, just keep that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep
Hold
that.
On to
just
that.
Remember that. You want to be happy. You know, even when you're poor. Because let's face it, you know, a lot of us have been poor. Some of us are still poor. But as long as you're happy in what you're doing,
isn't it,
man, that's
sad
enough.
That almost choosing a profession that fulfills your soul often does not come with a paycheck? Being an artist often does not come with a paycheck. Now, there are enough of us out there who are lucky enough that we get to work in the field that we choose. But I literally heard someone the other day just say, yeah, but that's true. But I mean, like, what are you really going to do? Because being an artist is not lucrative. And I literally felt like I watched this 15-year-old's flame just sort of like dull, just slightly. And I wanted to swoop up and be like, don't fucking listen to that person.
Right.
But that wasn't my place.
I'll tell you what, guys. I worked at a company that I made a lot of money for. The past, you know, 5 or 6 years, I taught at schools, and I made enough money to be all right. Fucking miserable.
Uh-huh.
Fucking miserable. This year, I've worked at A to Z, but the majority of my income is from acting. It's been one of the best years of my life.
I'm glad you chose you. But it seems that you chose to invest in yourself, and that's pretty baller.
I think, I mean, what else was I going to do? You know,
There's a lot of people who are willing to lose to set their dreams aside for what society says they are.
Well, I think a lot of people who are also
and you're not, so thank God.
Yeah, they're also told that they're supposed to hate their job, like that's just a thing. Like you're supposed to hate work. Yeah, you know, like that just perpetuates the idea that instead of choosing happiness, you have to choose success, or you have to choose, you know, something that gets you some goal, some quote-unquote American dream, as opposed to just saying, but it's just me. At the end of the day, my house, my cars, my whatever is not going with me, so wouldn't you rather go happy?
Yeah.
You know?
You can't take it with you. Yeah. Someone should write a play with that title. it's a good play. I enjoy it.
All right, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
I have to make up a color?
Well, I mean, it can be a shade of a color that already exists, but what's your, you know...
What color represents you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
Color and a name, maybe.
I'm going to go with Kansas City Black.
Kansas City Black, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And what does that color mean to you?
You know what? There's this, you know, and I talk about this with a lot of the African-American artists in the community. Mm-hmm. I think there's an awakening within the Black community. Now, I worked at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. And I think they've done, you know, what, 5 or 6 shows this year or something like that. And their bestseller was a show that I was in called 7 Guitars. Mm-hmm. And it was an all-Black cast, and that was in a time that there were 3 all-Black casts mm-hmm. on Kansas City stages. They had The Melting Pot, mm-hmm. Michelle Johnson's play. Mm-hmm. They had the show that was at the Rep. Mm-hmm.
African Girls.
That's right. And then it was us, 7 Guitars. And it just wasn't, it's not like it was just, you know, primarily white audiences, mm-hmm. because it's not. Mm-hmm. It was Black folks. Black folks came to see theater. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that the African-American community wants to see us represented on stage.
I hope so.
And well, I think a lot of these stages are starting to realize that and cast African-American actors in non-traditional, you know, roles.
Have you been cast in a non-traditional role?
This year, well, I don't know if you want to count traditionally. Oh, yeah, in my career, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I'm saying within the lot, in sort of how you feel as this resurgence sort of happening or this awakening, have you been fortunate enough to play a role outside of...
outside of my race?
Yeah.
I think because of the last name Ramos, you know, I'm in the Heights, and this is the second time that I've played Kevin Rosario. But I don't know if you can count that.
But you have one of the best songs, I believe, in that show.
A New Tale? Oh, yeah.
I mean, it because I was actually discussing that song yesterday. You, uh-huh. Your entire character and your entire purpose is inside of that.
In just one song. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Is.
And he smacked my face. And like, it's all, yeah, it's all in there.
All he wants to do is just get this. And it's a perfect song for immigrants. Mm-hmm. That's all I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Abuela has a very similar song that she gets to counter on the backside of really what.
Well, Corey, you're about to get me started, bro.
I know. Telling you. I happen to, in some capacities, love In the Heights more than Hamilton and many of the other shows because I was so lucky to see it in its primal stage in New York when I was up there. Like, before anyone touched it. Like, Lin-Manuel was literally talking to us, Robin DeJesus was just talking to us afterward and being like, what did you think as a white guy coming into that theater? How did this story convey to you? And I was so lucky to get to geek out with
that. Right. What did the guy in the White House say that they wanted? They just wanted, you know, drugs and spread all this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Anyway.
It's not. What they want to do. You know, they just want a better life.
The American dream.
And it's the perfect musical to illuminate. Yeah. Illuminate.
And gentrification takes place in there, you know, when the frost, I mean, Lin-Manuel talks about how the frosty, or the frozen ice guy is the most important part of the show.
Yeah. Who he's playing in the movie.
That is, and that is why, it's because it represents, like, the local small person being pushed out of the neighborhood because of a larger thing. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that show.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait. And you and Francie are mom and dad?
Yeah, we're mom and dad.
Woo! I cannot wait. Like, get me to to that show.
Yeah, I played. They have those. They have that softball game on Monday, the Kip Niven Memorial game, and we were playing outfield together, and we were just talking out there in between at bats, and she was like, "You're in the Heights?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was like, "I'm in the Heights." I'm like, "Who are you playing?" I'm Camila. Rosario. I'm like, "I'm your husband." And so that's how we found out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. You guys
I think
know
Vanessa's me. In it too. Vanessa Davis.
She's going to be in it. And how cool.
I don't know what she's coming in as, but yeah.
Really?
She's nervous as all get out because Vanessa does not say.
Who are the shopkeepers? I need to get a hold of that cast mm-hmm. list.
All I know, Daniela, I know Severo.
Severa.
Is Daniela. I know that.
Isn't it Daphne Ruby Vega playing that in the movie? I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, the original Mimi from Rent. Mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. circle that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know that Ponch is not Aiden. Mm-hmm. A lot of these other cats are young cats that I don't know.
Yeah.
But there was this one young African-American cat. And like I said, I've done the show before, so I know how it goes. But this guy came in and rocked it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, who's this dude?
Right.
Who's this cat?
Who's playing Sonny? Who's his little sidekick?
I don't know.
Because that, you know, yeah. He has a good
Tim
part
Scott,
of it
give us your cast list.
I know. Yeah. Just tell it to me. Yeah. Yes. And that, you know, how 96,000, the reason why I brought that up earlier is because that really does nothing. But in that world, it was life-changing yeah. up there. But, you know, and are you guys going to still keep on the links with Donald Trump and he's my caddy, or do we get rid of that fucking line?
Yeah.
By the way, Tim Scott, we should get rid of that fucking line. Well, anyway, that was our show, Keenan.
Yeah.
That was an hour?
Uh-huh. An hour and 3 minutes so far.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear, yeah. So, like, I love this. So, sort of, our last two questions are, who would you like to hear from on the couch? Who should we have on? If you were listening, who would you like to hear from?
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, and slightly tangible, you know, that can actually get to the couch, but,
There's millions. Hey, Sydney Garrett, I'm a huge fan of right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cat named Justin Behrens.
Yeah,
love
sure.
Him.
Justin.
When Teddy Trice is in town,
love sure. Him. Would love to get him back on.
But there's one guy who just got back into town and just kind of went through a life changing ordeal, and that's
Nate
Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's back in town right now?
He just flew back on Wednesday.
I love that. Nate would be fantastic.
Nate
would be
Nate
fantastic.
Sure.
He's got a unique perspective right now.
For sure. Yes.
So get that recorded.
Okay.
Because what he writes next is it's going to be game changing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that advertisement. I want to get, you know, Rachel on the show, lighting designer Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have her on.
Rachel Katie.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then is there anything that you would like to leave our audiences with or questions that we didn't ask that you would love to say as sort of a summarization? Ding.
Come out and see Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Come and see that because
right.
it's got that feeling, man. I just it feels different.
Yeah. Can you
feels
I feel
different.
The pulse, the energy. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
around right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels different.
Yeah.
It feels really, really special. And I can't wait to get into the rehearsal room that first day and see what this is all about.
Yes. Boom. But you got a little something to do beforehand.
Yeah, yeah, a little Lin-Manuel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's going to be exceptional. So please, audiences, make sure you catch Shakespeare in Love, make sure you catch In the Heights, and then get your booties here in September to see Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, we'll be taking a break next week for the holiday, but we'll be back.
Yeah, happy
4th
of July next
yes,
week.
Exactly.
Everyone be safe. Mm-hmm. Remember your pets and our military friends who may be fireworks and loud booms.
Yep.
It's not good for them.
Exactly.
So be conscious of what people are doing around you.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you all in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.